All right, let's look at figure number 24. I found 10 questions regarding figure number 24, and several of these questions were duplicated on the previous figures. For example, what is the estimated time en route? Determine the magnetic heading. Do we need to go over these estimated time en route questions? All of these problems are solved the same way. The numbers are just different. There is one question, though, that is different. It asks you, determine the compass heading. Determine the compass heading for a flight from Claxton Evans County Airport, Area 2. And that is on the lower part of the chart, on the left side. We're going from Claxton Evans County Airport, Area 2, to Hampton Varnell Airport, Area 1. And Area 1 is at the top of the chart. Hampton Varnell Airport is at the upper right-hand part of the chart. And this is the only question I found that asks for compass heading. Everything else asks for magnetic heading or magnetic course. I guess this question is worth looking at because the isogonic line is not, it doesn't just jump out at you like it did on the other examples. There it is. It runs right pretty much through the center of the chart from just west of the Allendale VOR compass rose. In fact, it intersects the compass rose. And then it goes down, it follows the Savannah River. And it pretty much is drawn in a direct line right down into Savannah. So it blends in with the roads and the railroads going north from Savannah. It's kind of hard to find. 5 degrees west variation is indicated pretty much in the center of the page, just a little bit above the middle part. So we have our magnetic heading of 045 degrees. And then we have to go to figure 59 in order to determine what our deviation is. Deviation is difference between the magnetic heading and the compass heading because of errors in the compass. So let's leave this and let's go over to look at figure 59. Figure 59 is a compass card. So we look at this figure 59 compass card and we ask yourself the question, what heading do I need to steer in order to fly a magnetic heading of 045? What is my compass heading going to be? Well, there is no 045. There is a 030 and a 060. To fly a heading of 030, I have to steer 027 degrees, 3 degrees less. And to fly a heading of 060, 056 degrees. Now, 045 is halfway between 30 and 60. So what's the difference between 3 degrees and 4 degrees? The middle point is 3.5 degrees. So you would steer 3.5 degrees less than your magnetic heading to arrive at a compass heading. So if your magnetic heading is 045, you'd steer about 3.5 degrees less, or you'd steer 41.5 degrees. The answer choice is 42 degrees. The rest of the questions reference figure 24, so we can return now to figure 24. I have a question regarding figure 24. The question is, what is the floor of the Savannah Class Charlie airspace at the shelf area, outer circle, Area 3? Look at Area 3 in figure 24 and tell me what the floor of the Savannah Class C airspace is. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know I told you that the outer circle, which is called the shelf area, it has a radius of 10 nautical miles and it extends vertically from 1,200 feet AGL up to 4,000 feet above the primary airport. However, if you look at Savannah, you see that the outer shelf area is denoted by 41 above 13, which means the top of the Charlie is 4,100 MSL. The floor of the shelf area is 1,300 MSL. There's also a similar navigation question that we covered on previous examples. It is, what's your estimated time of arrival if you're on Victor 185 and your flight crosses the 248 radial of the Allendale VOR at 0953 and then crosses the 216 radial of Allendale VOR at 1000? what's the estimated time of arrival at the Savannah Vortac. You measure the distance from the 216 radial of the Allendale VOR, where it intercepts Victor 185, and you measure the distance between the 248 radial and the 216 radial on Victor 185. The 248 radial is indicated on the chart there. It is Victor 70. And the 216 radial is also indicated on the chart. That's Victor 157. So you measure the distance between those two radials on Victor 185. You'll find it's 10 nautical miles. From 0953 to 1000 is 7 minutes. So it took you 7 minutes to fly 10 miles. If you run the numbers through your flight computer, you'll get about 86 knots. Your remaining distance is 40 nautical miles. 40 nautical miles at 86 knots, 40 divided by 86 knots is 0.46 hours times 60 to get minutes. It's 27.9 minutes. I'll figure 28 minutes. And then if you compute the ETA, 28 minutes, and you're over the second checkpoint at 1000, so you'd arrive at 1028. There's also a radial question that asks if what your approximate position is if you receive the 320 radial from Savannah Vortac and the 184 radial from Allendale VOR. So if you take the Allendale VOR and you measure a straight line off 184 degrees and you measure a straight line from the Savannah Vortac, the thing about the Savannah Vortac, there's a lot of information down there. It's easy to get confused about that. So here's how you do it. Look at the compass rose, and do you see where the zero is, the 0 degree radial? Follow the line from the 0 degree radial down until it stops. It's hard to see because the inner circle of the Class Charlie airspace goes right over the top of the vortex symbol in the center of that compass rose. You can draw a radial. It'll intercept the 184 radial right at the town of Springfield. Here's an easy one. On what course should the VOR receiver be set to navigate direct from Hampton Varnell Airport, Area 1, to Savannah Vortac, Area 3? Well, that's a pretty easy one because you look at where Hampton is, you look at where Savannah is, it's pretty much due south, about 180. Your 2 indication should center with the needle centered at around 180 degrees, and you should be flying around 180 degrees. Are there any answer choices that are close to 180 degrees? Okay, here's a couple of brand new ones. Let's look at the flag symbol at Statesboro Bullock County Airport, Claxton Evans County Airport, and Ridgeland Airport. What are those flag symbols? Those flag symbols are visual checkpoints that you use to identify your position when you make your initial call-up prior to entering the Class Charlie airspace. How do we know that? The fact that they're in the vicinity of a Class Charlie airspace is telling you that's what they're for. Arrow down to the bottom part of figure 24, and what is the height of the lighted obstacle approximately 6 nautical miles southwest of Savannah International? We know that circle is 5 nautical miles, right? So we go out just outside the circle, and there's a couple of obstructions. The difference between the obstructions, there's 4 large obstructions, and the one with the light has a little light symbol out of the top of it. It looks like little radiating lines, and it has 1549, and that is written right under the town of Pooler, and 1534 is in parentheses. Well, 1534 is the height above the ground, and 1549 is the MSL height. The thing you have to know about these symbols is that obstructions are indicated by a vertical spike. Group obstructions are multiple vertical spikes, and they have dots underneath them. If the obstructions are 1,000 feet and higher, AGL, the symbol is a little bit different. They look like the little Eiffel Tower symbol. And if they have lighting on them, the light radiates from the top of them. The elevation is given in MSL in bold, and in parentheses underneath it is the AGL height. And guy wires may extend outward from the structures. be very cautious when you're flying in the vicinity of obstructions and stay well above them. If you don't look carefully at this, if you go to around 8 miles, there are some more towers that are above 1,000 AGL. And interestingly enough, one of them is the same height. It's 1,549 MSL, but it's not the correct symbol. But if you inadvertently choose that, of course, you'll get the answer correct. We did look at the Victor Airway. I wanted to point out that on the Victor Airway, the blue line, there are boxes underneath the airway, and the number in the box is the total mileage of that airway between the VORs. Okay, let's move on to figure 25. I found four questions regarding figure 25. One of them is very straightforward. It asks to determine the magnetic course between Air Park East Airport in Area 1, lower left-hand corner of the chart. It's the larger of the three airports that do not have services, and Winsboro Airport, Area 2, just northeast of the Quitman VOR DME. The isogonic lines don't reveal the magnetic variation, so the question gives it to you. It's a very easy question because you could measure the true course. You can put your plotter on the chart and measure a true course. It'll come out to about 81.5 degrees, and when you subtract the 6.5 degrees magnetic variation, you'll wind up with a magnetic course of 75 degrees, 075 degrees. The other way of finding that course is by holding a straight edge on the chart between Air Park East and Winsboro. Hold the orientation of that straight edge proportional to the sides and just move it up to the Sulphur Springs VOR DME, holding it in the same angle as it was drawn. When you do that and you cross the center of the line over the Sulphur Springs VOR DME, you'll find that one part of the line exits the VOR DME at the 075 degree radial, and the other side of the line, the one that's on the west side, comes out at the 255 degree radial. The other questions involve VOR orientation. It's a funny question because the question asks, on what course should the VOR receiver, OBS, be set in order to navigate direct from Majors Airport, Area 1, to Quitman VORTAC, Area 2? The question says Quitman VORTAC, and Quitman is symbolized by a VOR DME symbol on the map, so it must be a typo. Anyway, let's figure it out. On what course would you set the OBS when you're flying from Majors to the Quitman VOR DME? You'd tune the Quitman VOR DME, you'd identify it, you'd rotate the OBS to get a 2 indication with the needle centered, and if you're over Majors Airport flying directly to Quitman, you would find yourself flying inbound on about the 081 degree radial. If you draw a straight line with your plotter from the Quitman VOR DME to Majors Airport, that course line, that magnetic course, will intersect the compass rose of the Quitman VOR DME right at 281 degrees. So if you're flying inbound to the Quitman VOR DME on the 281 degree radial with a 2 indication, what would your OBS indicate? It would be the reciprocal of 281. It would be 101 degrees. Your heading would be 101 degrees. Your OBS would be set to 101 degrees. You'd have a 2 indication. Your needle is centered. You would be on the 281 degree radial. We're going to refer to figure 29 to answer the next question, but before we go to figure 29, let's analyze the question, okay? Refer to figure 25 and figure 29. Stay on 25 with me. The VOR is tuned to the Bonham VORTAC, Area 3. Okay, the Bonham VORTAC is at the top left part of the page, and the aircraft is positioned over the town of Sulphur Springs, Area 5. All right, so you have an airplane over Sulphur Springs, Area 5, and the Bonham VOR is tuned. So which VOR indication is correct? Well, let's tell you which they would be. If you're going from the Sulphur Springs area to the Bonham VORTAC, you'll be flying approximately the reciprocal of 120 degrees, about 300 degrees. So you would have an indication where, with a 2 indication, you would have a centered needle with about 300 degrees, right? And if you rotate the LBS to the reciprocal of 300, which is 120, you would have a from indication. So in order to have the needle centered, it would either center on a 300 degree 2 indication, or it'll center on a 120 degree from indication for the bottom of the OR. So keep that in mind. We're approximately on the 120 degree radial. We'll keep that in mind, okay? Now let's go to figure 29 and see which indication we would want to have that tells us we are on the 120 degree radial. There are 9 different indications here in figure 29. And the way you look at this is there's 3 rows. The top 2 rows, the OBS is set to indicate 030 under the course index. In the bottom 3 rows, the OBS is set to indicate 210 degrees under the course index. We have neither a to nor from indication on number 3 and 7. And that tells us we are either directly over the top of a VOR, or we are at a right angle, at a 90 degree angle, to the respective radials that are dialed in there. So we're at a 90 degree angle to the 030 degree radial, or we're at a 90 degree angle to the 210 degree radial. So if we're on the 120 degree radial, we're going to have the indication that is indicated by either figure 3 or figure 7. There can be no other indications because all the other indications show us on or near the 030 degree radial or the 210 degree radial, and those are at 90 degree angles to where we are. So it's going to be either number 3 or 7, and there's a choice. Number 7 is one of the correct choices. Let's do another one. These are interesting. This is the last one. Refer to figure 25. So let's go back to figure 25. What is the approximate position of the aircraft if the VOR receivers indicate the 245 degree radial of Sulphur Springs VOR DME, Area 5, and the 140 degree radial of Bonham Vortac, Area 3? Oh, very easy. 245 degree radial of Sulphur Springs. So we go from the center of the Sulphur Springs VOR DME. We draw a line in the direction of 245 degrees. And looks like that'll take us right down in the vicinity of Majors Airport. Okay, so we've drawn that line. Looks like it goes right over Majors Airport. And then the other one is the 140 degree radial from the Bonham Vortac. 140 degree radial. When you draw the 140 degree radial, notice the 126 degree radial is part of Victor 114. So the hash mark right past that is 130. And then each hash mark on the compass rose is 5 degrees. So it's pretty easy to do. Looks like it takes us right over 2 private airports. And then it puts us just east of Glenmar Airport, and that is one of the choices, Glenmar Airport. So remember, the compass rose has 5 degree indications as you draw your radials. So we just drew 2 radials. We drew the 140 degree radial and we drew the 245 degree radial because radials extend outward from the station. As much as I hate to, we have to leave figure 25 and move on to figure 26. Oh well. Figure 26 has Dallas-Fort Worth right in the center of the screen, highly populated area. There are 20 questions regarding this figure, figure 26. 2 of them are similar to what we've already encountered. One asks, what is the estimated time en route for a flight between Denton Airport and Addison Airport? Denton is at the top of the screen. It's in Area 1, Magenta Airport. with services Delta Tango Oscar. Addison Airport is just under the number 2. It's a control tower field. If you plot your course between Denton and Addison, you'll find it's about 127, 128 degrees, somewhere in that area. Your wind direction is given, 200 at 20. Airspeed is given. Your ground speed will be about 102 knots. Your distance of 22.5 nautical miles at the ground speed of 102 knots is 13 minutes. 13 minutes and 15 seconds. 13 minutes is the answer for that particular question. The other one asks you what your magnetic heading is from Fort Worth Meacham Field, Area 4, to Denton. Meacham Field is the control tower field that's southwest of Dallas-Fort Worth. Looks like it's about 15 miles out. In this example, you plot your course from Meacham to Denton and measure that course. It's about 0 to 1 degrees. They give you the wind here, 330 degrees at 25 knots. So when you resolve your wind, you'll find that you have a 10 degree left wind correction angle, and you know that the left gets taken away. Take away the left. You add the right. So you take away 10 degrees from 0 to 1, you get a true heading of 011 degrees. And they're giving you a magnetic variation of 7 east. East is least. Subtract 7 from 11, you get 4. So your magnetic heading is 004 degrees. The answer choice that's closest is 003. Okay, put away your plotter. Put away your flight computer. We're going to get into procedures and questions because the rest of the questions deal with regulations and operations. So here we go. Look at Redbird Tower. Redbird Tower is located southeast of Dallas. In fact, it's the field right next to the word Dallas. Redbird is the name of the NDB that's on the field. So you see Area 3? Redbird Tower. If Redbird Tower is not an operation, say they closed because they are a part-time tower, that's indicated by the asterisk next to their tower frequency of 120.3. So if Redbird Tower is not in operation, which frequency should be used as a common traffic advisory frequency to monitor traffic? Well, I just gave it to you. When the tower is closed, we use the tower frequency for the CTAF frequency, 120.3. Now let's look at area number 7. Area 7, the airspace overlying McKinney Airport, Tango Kilo, India, is controlled from the surface to, well, let's see. McKinney, Tango Kilo, India. Notice there's a dashed line around the outside of that. We know that the airspace surrounding that airport is a Class Delta airspace because it's a control tower field. The question is, the airspace overlying is controlled from the surface to what? How high does the Class Delta airspace go? In this case, the numbers 29 indicate that the Class Delta airspace top is 2,900 feet MSL. By the way, I want to just give you a little overview on this particular chart. This is a fascinating chart because it's showing you a Class Bravo airspace area. And there's a 30 nautical mile ring around it, which is indicated in blue. There's also a 30 mile magenta ring, which is a Mode C ring. Those two circles overlap each other near McKinney Airport. The dimensions of this Class Bravo airspace are defined by the various blue segments, and each blue segment has an upper and a lower altitude. So if you look at the center of the chart, Area 5, you see the top of the Class Bravo is 110, which is 11,000 feet. The base of this area begins at the surface over the airport, and then as we go out from the airport, the floor gets higher and higher, kind of like an upside-down wedding cake. Outermost area there, at around 30 miles in the vicinity of McKinney Airport, well, the base of the Bravo is 4,000 feet. Where the base changes, the base numbers are indicated. Now this particular chart is a sectional chart, and this is the same scale as we've been using, 1 to 500,000. This airport, since it has a Bravo, would have its own class Bravo chart, which would have a scale of 1 to 250,000. It would have twice as much detail as we're looking at here. At which airports is fixed wings special VFR not authorized? We're looking for the word no SVFR. Look right in the middle of the chart. You see Dallas-Fort Worth? Right above Dallas-Fort Worth International, it says no SVFR. So we know it's not authorized at Dallas-Fort Worth. Any other airports? Dallas Love Field, just to the northeast, no SVFR. It looks to me like it's just Fort Worth International and Love Field. There is an answer choice with those two airports. Let's take a look at Area 8. What minimum altitude is required to fly over the Cedar Hill TV towers in the congested area south of Naval Air Station Dallas? There it is, Cedar Hill TV Tower transmits continuous warnings on 353 kilohertz. Those are high towers. My goodness. Notice the elevation of those towers, 2,449 MSL. Well, remember when we talked about regulations? Your minimum altitudes for flight over congested areas is 1,000 feet above the highest obstruction within a 2,000-foot radius. So your minimum altitude for flying in this area would be 1,000 feet above those towers. Towers are 2449, so your minimum altitude would be 3449. Let's look at Area 5, center of the chart. The navigation facility at the DFW airport is... What is that symbol? It's in the, right next to the number 5. Looks like the 156 radial comes from that, going to the south, southeast. It's a VOR DME symbol because it's just a square box with an outline. It doesn't have those three segments. So that's a VOR DME. The Ranger Vortec is to the west of the field, 115.7. That's Fox Uniform Zulu. But on the field is actually just a VOR DME called the Maverick VOR DME. The vicinity of Love Field is the Cowboy VOR DME. So there's two VOR DMEs, and there's a Vortec in the vicinity of the airport. The question asks you what the navigation facility at the international airport is. It's a VOR DME. There's another question that says, the VOR is tuned to the Dallas-Fort Worth Vortec. Obviously, that's referenced to the Vortec, which is the Ranger Vortec, west of the field there, 115.7, Fox Uniform Zulu. The VOR is tuned to the Dallas-Fort Worth Vortec. The omni-bearing selector is set on 253 degrees with a 2 indication. All right, well, write that down, 253 with a 2 indication. Okay, what radial are you on? What's the reciprocal of 253? It's more than 180, so we'll add 20. So it's 273 minus 200. So we are on the 073 degree radial. Okay? And a right course deviation indicator deflection. What is the aircraft's position from the Vortec? Well, I just said we are on the 073 degree radial. So you take the Vortec, you draw a line in the direction of 073 degrees. We're somewhere on that line. And now it's also telling you that you have a 2 indication, so presumably you're going to the station, right? And the course deviation indicator is deflected to the right, so it's saying go to the right to get back on the radial. That puts us east northeast of the station. Our position is east northeast of the station. That's one of the answer choices. What's the control tower frequency for Addison Airport? That's Area 2. It says CT, that stands for control tower, 126.0 with an asterisk, which means it's part-time. the C with a circle means that is the common traffic advisory frequency. ATIS is Automatic Terminal Information Service on frequency 133.4. You listen to that prior to departure or prior to arrival to get weather information. The airport is 644 feet above sea level. It has conditional lighting. Longest runway is 7,200 feet, UNICOM 122.9 or 5. The answer is 126.0. Let's look at Area 4. The airspace directly overlying Fort Worth Meacham is, that's Area 4. Let's take a look at that. What airspace is right over Fort Worth Meacham? But right over the field, of course, is Class Delta to 3,200 feet. Let's see, what are my choices? Class D to 3,200? That's correct. It's Class Delta to 3,200. Height of the delta is indicated by the numbers 32 just to the northeast of the airport. Those other numbers, 32, refer to a Class Delta airspace at the other airport there with just the one north-south runway. Fort Worth Meacham has several runways, and the top of its delta is 3,200 feet. It's within the blue outline of the Class Delta airspace. Let's look at figure number 27. Figure 27 is an odd size chart excerpt. In order to leave it a large enough size for good resolution, I left the vertical dimension quite large. It's longer than 768 pixels, so it's going to spill over your screen. You need to use your arrow keys to toggle down to view the bottom part of it, or toggle up to view the top part of it. If I were to shrink it down to fit in your screen, in the vertical dimension of your screen, the horizontal dimension would be really small and it would be very difficult to read, so I just left it rather large. There's a question here, a very easy one, and it asks you what your magnetic course would be from Bruckheimer Airport at the top of the page to Jamestown Airport, which is at the bottom of the page. And the thing that makes it really easy is the Jamestown Airport is located on a field with a VOR. So if you drew a straight line from the center of the airport directly to Bruckheimer Airport and see where it exits the compass rose, you'll see that it exits right around the 360 degree radial. So your magnetic course outbound is 360. The reciprocal is your magnetic course inbound, 180 degrees. While we're there, what's the CTAF UNICOM frequency at Jamestown Airport? See what that is? 123.0. So 123.0 is the UNICOM frequency. It's also the common traffic advisory frequency. What's the recommended communications procedure when you're inbound to Cooperstown Airport? Well, the same as it would be for any airport without a control tower. You would announce your intentions when you're 10 miles out on the CTAF UNICOM frequency. Nope, this one doesn't have UNICOM. This is 122.9, so that's Multicom. So you would broadcast your intentions when you're 10 miles out on the CTAF Multicom frequency, 122.9. Remember, 122.9 implies that there's no ground station. It's just an air-to-air frequency. You just self-announce your intentions when you're outbound or inbound. Notice the Cooperstown Airport is inside of a magenta circle. Well, that's the floor of Class E airspace at 700 feet. But there's another larger magenta outline that's very kind of straight-lined, and it goes from the northeast of the airport to the south, to the southwest, to the west of the airport. That whole area is the Devil's Lake East Military Operations Area. My question to you is, what hazards to aircraft may exist in areas such as the Devil's Lake East MOA? Well, military training activities that necessitate acrobatic or abrupt flight maneuvers. Notice below the MOA, there's a, looks like a lake. Surrounding it is the airspace in and around the vicinity of about the 330 radial from the Jamestown VOR, about 20 miles north of Jamestown. There's a lake. looks like there's also a dam there. And it says Arrowwood National Wildlife Refuge Area. Do you remember what the minimum altitude is for flying over national wildlife refuge areas, national monuments, wilderness, and primitive areas? You're requested to remain at least 2,000 feet above the surface in those areas. Let's talk about airspace. If you arrow up to Area 1 again, right in the center of the military operations area, there's a private airport called Low. What is the... See, how does the question read? Determine... Here it is. Identify the airspace over Low Airport. Well, let's look at it. We know that over Low Airport, nothing really happens till 1,200 feet. Why? Because we see that Class E airspace begins at 700 feet over Cooperstown Airport. On the outside of that 700-foot circle, Class E airspace begins at 1,200 feet. So it's Class G airspace up to but not including 1,200 AGL, and then at 1,200 AGL, it's Class E airspace. And that goes all the way up to but not including 18,000 MSL. So the airspace over Low Airport is Class G to 1,200 AGL, and then Class E airspace from 1,200 AGL up to but not including 18,000 MSL. Let's go back to Cooperstown for a moment. What is the visibility and cloud clearance requirements to operate VFR during daylight hours over the town of Cooperstown between 1,200 AGL and 10,000 MSL? Well, remember, if it's below 10,000 feet and more than 1,200 feet, it's 3 miles visibility. So it's 3 miles visibility, 500 below, 1,000 above, and 2,000 horizontally from the clouds. The only answer choice that has 3 miles visibility is the one I just indicated. 3 miles visibility, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. What about below 1,200 feet, just to continue this conversation? What's your minimum cloud clearance and visibility requirement below 1,200 feet? Well, over Cooperstown Airport, you're still in Class E airspace. In fact, if you're between 700 feet and 1,200 feet, you are still in Class E airspace and you need 3 miles visibility. It's 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. There's a very similar question that asks you regarding Area 6, the airspace overlying and within 5 miles of Barnes County Airport. Area 6 at the bottom right part of the chart is, well, we just got through talking about that. It's Class E airspace beginning at 700 feet. If you're in that airspace, you need 3 miles visibility. The question, the visibility and cloud clearance requirements to operate over the town of Cooperstown below 700 AGL, now we're in Class Gulf airspace. So what's the cloud clearance requirement, cloud clearance and visibility for operating in Class Gulf airspace? 1 mile clear of clouds. The question doesn't specify whether it's day or night. You know that if it's daytime, it's 1 mile clear of clouds. Well, what if it's nighttime? What's the requirement for operating at or below 1,200 feet AGL in Class Gulf airspace at night? Well, it's 3 miles, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. There is an exception to that. For airplanes, if your visibility is less than 3 miles, but at least 1 mile during night, you can operate clear of clouds if you are operating in an airport traffic pattern within 1/2 mile of the runway. That's the only exception to the 3 miles at night in Class G airspace below 1,200 AGL. One last question regarding Figure 27. The VOR is tuned to the Jamestown VOR, and the aircraft is positioned over Cooperstown Airport. Which VOR indication is correct? We're going to have to go back to Figure 29. Now, before we go to Figure 29, let's establish what radial we are on, okay? Jamestown VOR has a Victor Airway 034 radial. So, I think if it were the 030 radial, we would be right on it. We could measure the radial that we're on from the Jamestown VOR. I believe you'll find we are on the 030 degree radial. Okay, I just measured it. We are on the 030 degree radial. So before we go to figure 29, what VOR indications would we get if we were on the 030 radial? We will either have a 2 indication and the needle will be centered on the reciprocal of 030, and the reciprocal of 030 is 210, right? So we'll either have a 2 indication with the 210, or we'll have a from indication with the indicator reading 030. So let's go to the figure 29 and look. Figure 29, VOR indications. Oh, looks like we have a couple of indications that it could be. It could be indication number 2, that's a from indication with 030. It could be indication 8, it's a 2 indication with 210. Are those the only two it could be? Yes, it's either 2 or 8. Unfortunately, 2 and 8 are not answer choices. They give us a choice of, it could be 1, 4, or 6. So, let's see, could it be 1, 4, or 6? Couldn't be 1, because over that airport, if we had 030 tuned, it would be a from indication, so it's not 1. How about 4? Could it be 4? No, it cannot be 4. Why? Because in order to have the 030 indication, we would have to have a from indication. We are on the 030 radial, so it's not 1 or 4, so it's got to be 6. And 6 is showing that we are on the 030 radial, or a little south of it. That's the best choice, so I would say number 6. The only choice that's logical. You understand why, right? Number 6 is showing that we are in the vicinity of the 030 degree radial. Right? Number 2 shows we're right on it, but they're not giving that to us as an answer choice, so let's pick number 6. 6 is the correct answer.